We've come to Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 in our studies. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to open up this chapter by noticing what Paul says to this church. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Now, in the first place, he, in a very affectionate way, refers to these brethren as his dearly beloved. Paul loved these people. Paul loved these Christians and these churches that he worked with and that he wrote to. And notice that he calls them something that we find in no other epistle, as far as I know. He refers to them as his joy and crown. Paul was proud of these people. Paul loved these people. And he calls them his joy and crown. Paul didn't say that to every congregation. As a matter of fact, when you read books like 1 Corinthians or the book of Galatians, you find that Paul did not refer to them in that kind of affectionate and complimentary way. That doesn't mean that the church at Corinth was not loved by Paul, because he certainly did. It doesn't mean that Paul was not concerned and that he did not have feelings for the churches of Galatia. But it does mean that he had special feelings and a special relationship with the church at Philippi. That's not because Paul was being partial. It's simply because people are different, Christians differ, and congregations differ in their personalities. And we see that even in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. There, Jesus addresses seven congregations of the body of Christ. And those seven churches were not the same. They didn't have the same qualities. They didn't have the same problems. They did not have the same needs. Jesus was not being partial with them. When he told five of those seven churches that they needed to repent, but he didn't tell the other two that they needed to repent. It was just that there were different situations in these congregations. And so Paul, as he writes to the church at Philippi, does not have to get on to them like he got on to the church at Corinth or the churches of Galatia. Now, that is not to say that the church at Philippi didn't have any needs, that there weren't any problems. And as a matter of fact, in the very next verse, we're going to see a problem that Paul dealt with. So we're not saying at all that the church at Philippi was perfect, but it did stand out. So much so that Paul says, "You are my joy and crown." Now notice the last part of verse 1. Here's where he exhorts these people by saying, "So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Continue in what you have been taught. Hold to the truth, and don't be moved by anybody or for anything." What does it mean to stand fast in the Lord? Let me offer three illustrations from the Bible. The Bible shows in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, that the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, that is, the man who keeps his eye on the book, the Bible, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, a tree is stable. A tree is strong. A tree brings forth fruit. And how do we remain stable and strong? The Bible tells us that we're to keep our hearts and minds in the Word of God. Here's another illustration. The Bible says in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, that our Lord said that whoever hears his sayings and does them shall be like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. So we have a solid foundation when we hold to the truth and we refuse to be moved by anything or anybody. Here's another illustration. The Bible says that our hope is the anchor of the soul. So when we have the hope of eternal life, when our minds are fixed on heaven, when heaven is our aim and our goal, and we're seeking first the kingdom of God, and we have that hope, the Bible says that that hope is the anchor of the soul. And notice something else in verse 1. Notice the small word, so. That means thus. That means in this way or in this manner. What way or what manner? Well, Paul is going back to Philippians chapter 3 again. He's talking about the fact that he gave up all those things in the Jewish religion to become a Christian. And he says, I am forgetting what is behind, and I'm reaching forth to the things that are before. So Paul says, have that same mindset. Be stable. Don't be distracted by the past. Don't be hindered by the present. Keep your eye on the goal. That sounds very simple, but it's an admonition that Christians need every single day, because we can easily get weighed down with the cares of this life and troubles that really don't amount to a whole lot, and we can become distracted from what our real goal is. Now, Paul said, so, that is, in this way, stand fast in the Lord, by forgetting things that are behind, but also because of what he said in chapter 3 about following people who are setting the right example. Follow me, he said. Follow other people. And that is a great encouragement for Christians today, to be encouraged and to keep our minds focused on what they should be focused on. We need to think more, and we need to pay attention to good Christian people, because that will give us incentive. That will give us strength and encouragement. That's what he talks about in chapter 3, verse 17. And he says, just avoid and have nothing to do with these people that will pull you down, that he talks about in verses 18 and 19, the selfish and the ungodly element of society. And then he says in chapter 3, verse 20, to remember that we are strangers and pilgrims. We are foreigners in this life, because our citizenship, that is our conversation or citizenship, is in heaven. That's where our names are. And he's going to come back to that in chapter 4, verse 3, when he says that our names are in the book of life. So we are registered in heaven. And in chapter 3, verse 21, he has just reminded his readers and us that in the resurrection day, our vile body, that is this body of clay, will be changed into another body, that spiritual body, that will be like his glorious body. Now, all of those are reasons in chapter 3 for what Paul says in chapter 4, verse 1, to stand fast in the Lord. If we do what he says in chapter 3, if we have our minds set on the things that he's talking about in chapter 3, we will stand fast in the Lord. So the church at Philippi was Paul's joy and crown, but they were human. And when you have human beings, you're going to have problems. You're going to have issues. And even the best of people have trouble getting along at times, and that was true of this church at Philippi. Notice verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. These two names are names of women. There were two women in the church at Philippi that Paul calls by name. And he says to them, I am beseeching you. In other words, I'm pleading with you. I'm asking you, I'm exhorting you, I am admonishing you. What? That they be of the same mind in the Lord. Which means that these two sisters in Christ were having some trouble getting along. Why would Paul single them out if that were not the case? Why would Paul simply talk about these two people being of the same mind in the Lord in this special way if there were not a problem? Paul has been telling everybody in this book to be of the same mind in the Lord. So this evidently is an indication that these two women were not getting along as they should. Now, how does Paul deal with that? Does he go into what they were arguing about or what they differed on? Does he talk about the hurt feelings that were there? Does he try to go into their dispute and analyze the situation? Well, sometimes there's a need for that. Sometimes that's something that needs to be done. But in this case, Paul didn't go into the particulars about their differences. He simply said, you need to be of the same mind in the Lord. In other words, you need to get along with each other. And the very fact that he calls them by name tells us that the problem between them was of such a nature, that is, it was of such a magnitude, it had reached such a level that Paul saw it necessary to call them by name and to tell them that they needed to settle their differences. So Paul says, be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, The church at Philippi had a lot of great qualities. There were many things that Paul compliments them about, but still, they were human. There were problems, and there will be problems in any congregation of the Lord's body. Why? Because there are people in it. And so if you're in a congregation of the Lord's body, you're going to find that people are not perfect, and you're going to have to be long-suffering with other people, just like other people are forbearing and long-suffering with you. And so let's go to verse 3, where Paul continues and says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." Now, Paul mentions several people here in particular, and then he talks about a different group of people, these others who are his fellow laborers. Now, notice first of all that he says, true yoke fellow. We don't know because Paul does not tell us the name of this person. There are opinions about that, and if you read commentaries, you're going to find different conjectures about who this true yoke fella was. But the most important thing to remember is that a yoke fella is a fellow laborer. It is one that you're working with and beside in the gospel. So Paul says, "I'm entreating you." That is, I'm beseeching you. "I am encouraging and exhorting you to help those women which labored with me in the gospel." In the Bible, you find different women mentioned who were very important and very faithful and dedicated workers in the spread of the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean that they became elders or preachers, but they did their work, and the Bible compliments those women. We read about women in the New Testament church like Phoebe, Priscilla, and many other women. There were many women that helped Jesus Christ. Mary and Martha and Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Susanna and Mary, the mother of James, and so many that are mentioned. And Paul is talking here especially about those women, he says, which labored with me in the gospel. There are all kinds of works that need to be done in the spread of the gospel. And so there's traveling, there's lodging, there are meals that have to be prepared. There is a lot of work for men and women both to do in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says that the men and the women are to work together. It is not all about the men. It is not all about the women. We need both. And the participation of men and women in the body of Christ working together is absolutely necessary. So Paul says that he's also mentioning here Clement and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Paul had just said back in chapter 3, verse 20, that our citizenship is in heaven. Now he adds that the names of Christians are in the book of life. You'll read about that book of life several times in the book of Revelation, and that simply refers to those Christian people. People who have obeyed the gospel and have been added to the Lord's church by the Lord himself, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. People in this life want their names recorded in some very high and important places, but Christians are not only satisfied with, but are happy about the fact that their names are written in the book of life and we are enrolled in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23 talks about that enrollment in heaven, that citizenship that Christians have. This ends our study of Philippians 4, verses 1 through 3, and beginning in the next lesson, with Philippians 4, verse 4, we're going to be talking about peace of mind and how to attain it. And we're going to call the things that we'll look at, beginning in Philippians 4, verse 4, pathways to true spiritual peace of mind.